You're listening to SBS News.
The sounds of missiles that have already become too familiar to the people of Ukraine engulfed the city of Zaporizhia as Russian forces shelled and seized its nuclear power plant, the largest one in all of Europe. The United States and its allies have heavily criticized the Kremlin at an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council, with US Ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, cautioning that the world had narrowly averted a nuclear catastrophe.
By the grace of God, the world narrowly averted a nuclear catastrophe last night. We all waited to exhale as we watched the horrific situation unfold in real time. Russia's attack last night put Europe's largest nuclear power at grave risk. It was incredibly reckless and dangerous, and it threatened the safety of civilians across Russia, Ukraine, and Europe.
As shells hit the area early on Friday, a blaze broke out in a training building, triggering a spasm of alarm around the world before the fire was extinguished, and officials were able to confirm that the facility was safe. However, the power station is now under Russian control. The attack on the Zaporizhia nuclear plant triggered global alarm and fear of a catastrophe that could dwarf the world's worst nuclear disaster at Ukraine's Chernobyl in 1986. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency says that operations are continuing as normal. The IAEA says a projectile had impacted a building adjacent to the block of six reactors, which caused a fire, which was later extinguished after some time. Officials say no radiation was released. In a video call with the UN Security Council, the head of the IAEA, Rafael Grossi, says although operations were continuing as normal, there was nothing normal about the situation.
We consider from a technical point of view that operation continues normally, although, as I have stressed to the board of governors of the IAEA, there is no, of course, normalcy about the situation when there are military forces, of course, in charge of the site.
Ukraine is home to four nuclear sites, with 15 reactors and associated facilities, plus the now-defunct Chernobyl power plant, which Russian troops have already seized control of. In a statement on Twitter, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky accused Russia of resorting to nuclear terror and wanting to repeat the Chernobyl disaster of 1986. In a bitter and emotional speech hours later, he criticized NATO for refusing to impose a no-fly zone over Ukraine, saying it will fully untie Russia's hands as it escalates its attack from the air.
Today, the alliance has given the green light to the bombing of Ukrainian cities and villages by refusing to create a no-fly zone. You could have closed the airspace. I don't know who you are able to protect or whether you are actually capable of protecting NATO members. All the people who die from this day forward will also die because of you, because of your weakness, because of your lack of unity. All the alliance was able to do today was to pass through its procurement system 50 tons of diesel fuel for Ukraine. Perhaps so that we could burn the Budapest Memorandum.
The Budapest Memorandum was signed in 1994 and gave security guarantees to Ukraine in exchange for the withdrawal of its Soviet-era nuclear weapons, and was signed by Russia, the United Kingdom and the US. Many are now concerned that these latest actions by the Kremlin will weaken the credibility of major power security assurances, undermining the nuclear non-proliferation regime and dampening prospects for future disarmament. But NATO still refused to impose a no-fly zone, warning that to do so could provoke widespread war in Europe with nuclear-armed Russia. Speaking from Brussels, where he was attending talks with NATO allies, US Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that implementing a no-fly zone would only provoke the Kremlin further.
The only way to actually implement something like a no-fly zone is to send NATO planes into Ukrainian airspace and to shoot down Russian planes, and that could lead to a full-fledged war in Europe. President Biden has been clear that we are not going to get into a war with Russia. But we are going to tremendous lengths with allies and partners to provide Ukrainians with the means to effectively defend themselves.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki reiterating the Biden administration's response of imposing harsh sanctions on Russia, saying they would continue to work together with the Europeans.
How the president has been approaching any of the steps we've taken as it relates to Russia and the actions of Russia and holding President Putin accountable is to take every step to the maximum impact that will impact President Putin, the Russian economy. I mean, the stock market has been closed now for the longest time in history. Russia is in a full-blown financial crisis. According to JP Morgan analysts, there will be a collapse in the Russian GDP. So clearly those actions are working. We will have one of his principles from the beginning has been to do that in a unified way, in a coordinated way, because we are stronger if we are together as we work with the Europeans.
Pentagon spokesman John Kirby says the nuclear power plant episode underscores Russia's recklessness.
This underscores the recklessness with which the Russians have been perpetrating this unprovoked invasion and assault on Ukraine and their sovereignty. Attacking a nuclear power plant is exceedingly dangerous. Could have visited a lot more damage and destruction to the people of Ukraine and to the and perhaps even to neighboring countries had this gone a different way.
Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin intensified a crackdown on media outlets and individuals who failed to hew to the Kremlin line on the war in Ukraine, blocking Facebook and Twitter, and signing into law a bill that criminalizes the intentional spreading of what Moscow deems to be fake reports. Alicia Wanless, the director of the Partnership for Countering Influence Operations at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, underlined the great impact this will have.
The blocking of state media has encouraged a Russian response of blocking Western headquartered digital platforms, removing a key channel through which prominent Russians have been expressing their dissatisfaction for the war. So that takes away a key form of protest for them. But these blocks also restrict the availability of direct-to-public appeals like those of Zelensky's to the Russian people to try to erode their support for this invasion.
Russian officials have demanded the media cover the invasion of Ukraine in strict accordance with the official line and have quickly pounced on journalists that describe Russia's attack on Ukraine as an invasion or a war, and carried statements from the Ukrainian side. Russia's only independent television news channel, TV Rain, has been forced off the air amid the crackdown. Despite its insistence to continue broadcasting, the Kremlin's growing threat to independent news media has put journalists at increasing personal risk of imprisonment. The broadcaster's website and app had been blocked in the country on Wednesday amid government pressure to silence any reporting of its violent invasion of Ukraine. But the channel did not go quietly. Staffers walked off the set defiantly, saying no to war. And as a final act, the network aired just a few seconds of Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake. It was a reference to the 1991 coup attempt against the reformer Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev. During that time, the ballet aired on a loop, indicating the country was in deep trouble. Tina Quinn, SBS News.